Julie and I have recently found out that we're going to be grandparents again. And this week at Falls Creek, we got a phone call and found out that our second grandchild will be our first grandson. He's going to be named Jack. He's coming in November, and we're looking forward to that. Just a few hours after we heard about that, and as we still had that little baby on our mind, we were standing at Falls Creek in the tabernacle after the service and the invitation time, and this 15-year-old girl came walking up to us with tears in her eyes, and we didn't really know her, but we knew she was one of ours, and she kind of recognized us and wanted to talk to somebody, and so she was eager to tell us that she had just experienced a life-changing encounter with Christ. She had been saved at Falls Creek. And with tears of joy, she gave us that testimony. And the next morning, as I woke up there at Falls Creek, I was having my quiet time, and I prayed for both. I found myself praying for that little grandbaby, that he would be knit together in his mother's womb and would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I prayed for growth. And I found myself also praying for growth in the life of that teenage girl who had just came to know Christ. And here's what I prayed. I bowed my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant her, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in her inner person, so that Christ might dwell in her heart through faith, and that she, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That's a good prayer to pray for a young believer, isn't it? We've been examining this prayer, which is a prayer of Paul found in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. We've been looking at this prayer over the past few weeks because it's a prayer that is born in the same soil, really, as our mission statement. It helps us to think about our mission of gathering together and building up and sending out to the glory of God. And as we've looked at this prayer and considered how it impacts our calling as disciples and as together as a church, we've seen already that this prayer teaches us that disciples grow like a building on coming up from a foundation, like a tree rooted and bearing fruit. Disciples grow. And this is a prayer that helps us to understand spiritual growth. It's a prayer, remember, that reminds us that instead of spending so much energy and effort trying to change our outer circumstances, our first instinct as followers of Christ ought to be that we might seek inner strength, that we might be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, resembling Christ no matter what our circumstance might be. Disciples grow. And last week we saw that this prayer places emphasis on the fact that disciples grow together. Together with all the saints, the prayer talks about. Remember, we discussed how our diversity is His glory. And it's a prayer that calls us not just to grow individually, but to grow as family, to grow in love is the emphasis of this prayer. Well, I want us to take one more look at this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, and discover that not only does this prayer teach us that disciples grow, but that also disciples know. In fact, this is a prayer for growth in the knowledge of Christ. And it's one of the best places for us as followers of Christ to glean an understanding of what it means to know Jesus Christ. To know Christ. You follow along as I read this text. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, to be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's all say that. Amen. And some of you have memorized that prayer, haven't you? Amen? Yeah, I heard an oh my, I think. Disciples grow and disciples know. What is involved in knowing Christ? Well, one of the things we learn in this prayer is that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do want to pursue a mental knowledge of Christ. We want to know Him in our heads. We want to grow in our intellectual understanding of Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. The word comprehend is a New Testament word that means to grasp. It means to grab a hold of. It describes a mental understanding. It's similar to if someone is explaining something to you and you finally say, "Oh, I got it." Right? I've grasped it. I understand. It's a cognitive word. It's the same word that the Roman official Festus used when he said, "You know what? I investigated the charges against Paul. I interviewed Paul. And I have determined, I have understood, I have found that Paul is innocent of his charges. I've come to understand, I comprehend, I've grasped it." And so part of this prayer is a prayer that people like you and me, who are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, in whom Christ dwells, that people like you and me, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be ever growing in our understanding of the love of Christ. And it's similar to the great hymn that we sing when we declare, "When I survey the wondrous cross." That's a hymn that reminds us that as followers of Christ Jesus, it's not enough for us to just know about the cross, to know that Jesus died on the cross, but we want to spend our lives surveying the cross, considering who Jesus is, how His love impacts us, the reaches of His love, meditating so that we might understand better the love of Christ, that we might know Him, comprehending Him. And in fact, Paul gives us in verse 18 what we might think of as a kind of a study guide to help us investigate the love of Christ. He says, consider the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. Now, on one level, that's just a poetic way for Paul to say that we might comprehend the fullness of the love of Christ. But down through the years of Christian history, the great faithful men and women of God have used this poetic imagery to help them to explore, to survey, to consider that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is as broad as all humanity. Every color, every class, every category of man and woman on the face of the earth. No one left out. The love of Christ is broad. And the length of Christ, the love of Christ, that stretches from eternity past to eternity future, who loved us before the foundations of the world and will still love us when we've been there 10,000 years. The height, the love of Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the exalted one who intercedes on our behalf and will one day welcome us into His presence, and the depths of the love of Christ. His love came down from glory to a manger, from a manger to serve, to die, even the death of the cross, and buried in a borrowed tomb. I wonder, brother or sister, how long it has been since you sit still, alone, in His presence, to survey the love of Christ. Since you found yourself forced to declare, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. I wonder if your understanding of the love of Christ is not much deeper or greater than it was years ago when you were saved. Remember, the author of Hebrews writes to those believers and says, listen, brothers, there's a lot I want to say to you, but I cannot say it. Because even though by now you ought to be ready for solid food, I'm still having to give you milk. The basics. We want to seek to pursue a mental knowledge of Christ, to understand the depths, the doctrines of who Jesus is and what He's done for us, and the totality of the impact of the love of Christ on our lives. Knowing Christ is not less than mental comprehension, apprehension. It's not less than that. It involves it. And some of you here in this room need to get serious about surveying, about understanding better, in a deeper way, the love of Christ. Knowing Christ is not less than mental apprehension, but there is more than understanding in our heads. Paul here in this prayer is talking about more than an intellectual advance, isn't he? Remember Frederick Faber, the great poet, said, "For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind." And you can testify to that, can't you? Paul is praying that. We seek to know what we could never know. Because the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind. And when we study carefully this prayer, we realize that Paul is not only talking about pursuing a mental knowledge of Christ, but he is emphasizing our pursuit of a relational knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, notice the contrast in the language in verse 18 and 19. When Paul prays that we may be able to comprehend, to understand with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ. Now, the words comprehend and know are two verbs that are similar, but they're not synonyms. They mean a little bit something different. To comprehend means to grasp. It's a head word. But to know is a New Testament word which always speaks to relational knowledge. To know the love of Christ is a knowledge gained by and grounded in experience. It's a relationship word which reminds us that Christianity is not focused on propositions about Jesus, but the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says spiritual growth is not just knowing more and more stuff about Jesus, but it's knowing Jesus, that you might know the love of Christ, experience personally Jesus as a relationship with Jesus that allows us to say, I know Him. Verse 17 speaks to this when it talks about being, about Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, so that we as Christians are rooted and grounded in love. It's impossible to know all about Jesus and yet not know Jesus. This is an important truth for the kind of people who get up and come to church at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Friend, it is possible to know all about Jesus and yet not know Jesus. And so Paul's prayer is not only that we comprehend, but that we know Him. The great example of this from Christian history, I think, comes from John Wesley, a great man of God. In the year 1736, John Wesley was a young Anglican pastor in Savannah, Georgia. His father was an Anglican minister, and he decided to accept an invitation to come and be a pastor in the governor's church in Savannah, the colony, because he wanted to preach to the Indians. He had kind of a romantic idea of what that would be like. And on the way over, his ship encountered a storm, and they all on board thought they were going to die, and he was fearful for his own life and soul. But there were some Moravian missionaries on board that ship who had perfect peace. They were singing hymns and trusting God, and they knew a peace that he didn't know, and it troubled him. And so when he got to Savannah, he scheduled an appointment to go talk to an old Moravian pastor named Gottlieb Spangenberg. I'll call him Gottlieb. And as soon as he started the conversation with Gottlieb, he cut him off. And Wesley recorded this whole conversation in his diary, February 7th, 1736. He wrote it all out. Spangenberg cut him off and said, "My brother." Now, Wesley's a preacher's kid. He's a preacher. He's just sailed across the ocean to be the pastor of a church in Savannah. Spangenberg cut him off and said, "My brother, I must first ask, does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God?" Wesley wrote, "I was surprised and knew not what to answer. He observed my surprise and asked, do you know Jesus Christ? I paused," Wesley wrote, "and said, I know that He is the Savior of the world." "True, but do you know He has saved you?" Wesley wrote, "I said, I do." But in his journal, he entered this note, "But I fear they were vain words." It was 2 years later, back in London, that Wesley, who had failed in Georgia, finally came to the place in his life where he experienced a life-changing encounter with Christ. His heart was strangely warmed, he said, and he could say, "I know Him. I know Him." Let me ask you the question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Not do you know that He is the Savior of the world, but does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that He is your Savior? This is a prayer that we grow not only in our mental knowledge of Jesus, but in our relational knowledge of Jesus. I believe the Bible teaches us that God loves the world so much that His only begotten Son came and laid down His life on the cross of Calvary. That crucified, bearing the penalty, the weight of your sin and mine, He was buried and He rose again. He loves us all and He's died for us all. But He saves those who call upon His name, who know Him. And some of the most tragic words that we ever read in sacred text are the words of Jesus: "Depart from me, I never knew you." Do you know Jesus? I want you to see that this is a prayer for mental knowledge, but also for a relational knowledge of Jesus. And finally, I want you to see that this is a prayer that reminds us that all of our knowledge of Jesus is supernatural knowledge of Jesus. Let me explain. This is a prayer asking the Father to intervene and give us what we can never grab. This is a prayer asking God to give us what we cannot acquire through intellect or through effort. He's praying that the Father would give us this knowledge, because we can't gain it on our own. So verse 18 says, "So that you would be able to comprehend." To be able. The language is emphatic here. It's a word that means to be mighty, to have a full capacity. You're not able. But God in His grace could make you able to comprehend. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Do you see the emphasis of Paul? You could never grasp it on your own. But He gives it to you. Remember that when Jesus pulled the 12 aside to Caesarea Philippi and He asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter made the great confession of faith, the content of our gospel: "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you remember the immediate response of Jesus before He said anything else? He responded to Peter's grasp of this truth by saying, "Peter, you are blessed, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Remember, Jesus is the one who one time was forced to stop and say, "Oh, Father, I praise you, because it's been your good pleasure to hide these things from the wise and the educated and make them known to these babies who are following me." It's His supernatural gift. If you know Him, it's because He's made Himself known to you. And this is the thrust of Paul's prayer. Sometimes we sing, "Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me, it is so." That's a poem that comes from this prayer. Pride keeps you from knowing Jesus. You cannot see, you cannot know Him until you humble yourself like a poor blind beggar and ask Him to have mercy on you. If you're waiting to understand Him until you trust Him, you'll wait until you break hell wide open. If you're trying to know Him better before you cry out to Him to save you, you might be waiting for all eternity. To know Him is His gift to us. We know Him because He makes Himself known to us. He shows Himself to us. He reveals Himself to us. And then we come to know Him not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Not merely propositions about Jesus, but to know the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you know Him? Let's bow our heads together for prayer. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And as soon as I say amen, we're going to all stand together to sing a song of invitation, of response. And in a moment when I say amen and we all stand together, some people will come forward here, maybe because they want to pray for friends or loved ones who are lost, maybe because they have some special burden. Some may come forward because they want to join our church and we'll be happy to receive you. But listen, when I say amen and we stand up together to pray, some of you need to come forward here. Because Jesus Christ is stirring your heart. Because today you hear His voice. He's calling you. He's making Himself known to you. Listen, friend, the psalmist says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. He's passing by. Will you cry out, have mercy on me? Jesus, save me. In a moment when I pray and we stand and sing, if you'll step forward here, we're waiting for you. And we can help you to put head and heart together. And to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, who's calling on you. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. Do you know Him? Can you say with confidence, I know Him? If so, praise God for His saving grace in your life. But if you don't have that testimony this morning, I want you to know that you will never find an easier, better time to get this settled. So that from this day forward, you can say, I know Him. I know Him. Father, I thank You for this beautiful prayer and the way You've preserved it for us. We praise You, Father, because even though we're ignorant and darkened in our understanding, You make Yourself known to us through Your Holy Spirit and Your Holy Word. And Father, this room is filled with people who know a lot of stuff about Jesus. I pray that every person in this room would know Jesus before we close our time. Would know Him and have testimony that they are a child of God. As Your Holy Spirit calls, I pray that You give us grace and courage to answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's stand together and sing, You Come to Know Christ Now.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He has.